So welcome everyone. Before we go ahead, I know most of us know all the people that we have here on the stage. But just for formality's sake and for the sake of if anybody is watching online, I don't know if this is being broadcast online, but just for the sake of people watching online, can we all introduce ourselves, you know, starting from?
Good morning, church. I'm Evangel Anyakonha.
Good morning, church. My name is Ernest Nabedum.
Good morning. My name is Jessica Osarigo.
Good morning. My name is Lillian Ejiofor.
Good morning. My name is Grace Sanjoran.
Good morning. I'm the second Jessica Emmanuel.
Good morning. My name is Caroline Okonkwo.
All right. You're all welcome. Thank you so much. You know, I was looking at the theme of the Children's Day today. The theme is taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, NLT version, and it says, I'll teach your children and they will enjoy great peace. You know, we're here for the kids today. We're all here for the kids, and we have a couple of things to go through, a lot of questions, and I just hope that we all have that open mind, you know, to learn from what our panelists here have heard from the Lord for the church today. Praise the Lord. And so the first question I'm going to ask us, we have roughly 2 minutes, okay, so we have to be very judicious with our time. So it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, NLT, it says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to the world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Praise the Lord. So when you look at these two scriptures and with the current end time wind of evil and, you know, what's going on in the world, my question now is, how did you navigate through life growing up as a young adult? And how are you able to keep living your life in a manner worthy of the gospel? So this question is for Evangel and for you and Lillian here and Grace. Praise the Lord. You guys have 2 minutes.
Hallelujah. For me, I think what really made the difference was getting to know God personally for myself. Besides coming to church and learning in church, I remember growing up, middle school, high school, I was a kid who, I knew the answers in Sunday school, but that wasn't enough to hold me. I really did want to please God, but that wasn't enough to hold me. I struggled with, you know, different things, different sins, and eventually, I was like everybody else. But what made the difference for me is when I decided for my own self to get to know God. And that was different. Knowing God is different from being able to recite 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Really, knowing God means to understand what it means to be a new creation. And what does that mean for me, that I'm a new creation? Knowing that I'm a new creation, knowing that Christ lives in me. So I think what made a difference for me is like knowing my identity in Christ and having a relationship with God where I read his word and he speaks to me and tells me, directs my life. Just naturally reading the word, eventually you would the things of the world would start to fall off you. Naturally, after a while, I just saw myself not really being friends with certain people anymore. Like, you know, there was a separation. It wasn't like we tried or I tried to do it. It just kind of happened just from reading the word and knowing what God is saying to me and just doing it. So actually knowing God and doing what he's saying, personal relationship with God is what made the difference for me.
That's amazing.
Praise the Lord. So for me, I'm going to go into like a bit of a story. But what I consider the start of my young adulthood is my senior year of high school. It was when I was transitioning into college, And a lot of my teachers, guidance counselors, what have you, would be telling me that, oh, the things that you and your friends were doing in class won't slide in college. And that's like a really common saying that high school teachers say to their students. And I was a good kid, though, so I don't know why they were getting on my back, but I think it was because the people I was surrounded by, I was guilty by association because they were acting bad, therefore the teachers thought I was acting bad, too. But anyway, when I was transitioning to college, I really knew that I wanted to dorm and that I would be away from church. And so I knew that I had to develop a consistent habit of reading the Bible on my own, praying on my own, doing X, Y, and Z on my own to like really like live out the Christian life. And so in my freshman year of college, I don't think I lasted maybe 2 weeks without doing something that I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing, I'm gonna be honest. And I just kept falling into like these cycles of doing the wrong thing like over and over again. And I really do think it has a large part to do with being in a new environment, surrounded by new friends with higher levels of peer pressure, because you like naturally you want to fit in. But I knew that that wasn't the right way to go. So after like a while, I eventually said enough is enough, and I really decided to put my foot down and make a decision on my own to really get into the Word, to really dedicate time to read the Bible. And as Evangel mentioned, like I naturally saw things like just shifting in my life, and God was doing a transformative work in me by me reading the Bible and by me praying and by me like really being like focused on the Word of God. And I'll wrap this up, but there was a time when two people in my class approached me, and they were inviting me to join a fraternity. And I was like, oh, well, this is when I was grounded in the Word of God, so like I knew like what they were trying to do. Yeah, so I was like, oh, absolutely not. That's not what I said. I was very polite. I was like dismissive. I was like, no, I'm fine. And they were like really trying to push it on me. They were like, oh, no, just come and see. I was like, oh, no, not today, Satan. That's not what I said, but I was polite. So by standing firm on my belief system and my values based on the Word of God, they eventually backed off because I kept saying no, that's not what I do, that's not who I am. And I think that that's a large part has to do with me being focused on the Word of God, me being secure in the Word. And one thing that I will end off with is I wish that I had started following Jesus earlier rather than later. Amen.
I like how you put it, you know, guilty by association. And, you know, Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. I'm so glad that you know that truth and you stood on it. Lillian?
Thank you. Praise God. So for me personally, it was kind of the same experience as Ernest, like going into school. Like normally before college, I had like a pretty easygoing life, you know, doing well in school, had the good friends, and everything was pretty okay. I was pretty happy. But then once school started, for some reason, like I lost that schedule consistency I had with going to church on Sundays, going to church on Thursdays for Bible study, reading my word every day until like I just like steered off in a way. And then for some reason, I didn't know why, but I was like feeling very like low and hopeless and just like that stress and depression. It was just like out of nowhere. So I didn't know what was going on. And then like I would call my mom for like advice. She would like, you know, encourage me, but then it would still be there. And that's when I realized like I had to surrender. Like there's no way I can like deal with this on my own. There's no way that I can like navigate through this without Christ. So I was able to like just tap in and realize that He's the vine, I'm the branch. So like without Him, I can really do nothing. So I have to like really tap into His word, tap into the source for me to find the happiness that I once had, for me to find the fulfillment that I had. And I knew my identity in Christ, and that's what helped me to just like navigate going forward. And then just like Ernest said, I really wish that I was more grounded earlier in college than later on, so I didn't have to learn the hard way. But I praise God for like finding me back into His wings.
Okay, so just to like add on to what everyone said. So for me growing up and navigating through life as a young adult, it's still like, I'm still learning, I'm still growing. But to speak on what I've learned from my experiences in regards to how I started and now, the one thing that I had to learn, like Evangel said, was to develop and recognize my identity in Christ, and allowing that to mimic within other areas of my life. During that journey, there is and was like a lot of different things going on in different areas of my life. But in the midst of entering into, you know, your young adulthood, you are forming your identity. You're, you know, outlining your outlook on life, building relationships with others, and you're surrounded by a bunch of different other influences. So for me, within just navigating that, I had to learn not only who I was in Christ, but also what a personal relationship with God looked like. That helped build a foundation and shape the way, you know, shaped like the choices that I made moving forward, building my values, understanding my purpose, building confidence within myself so that when you are dealt with like the complexities of life, you're able to stand your ground. And that was key for me, building my relationship with God, and being intentional about it shapes not only the way I perceive myself, but how I related to others and the world. The things I chose to surround myself with, which brings me to my next point of choosing the right people around you. That was another thing that I had to, you know, navigate through. This is very determining on your focus in life. Simply just from the people that you allow around you, there is a lot of influence and impact on yourself. What you expose to really matters because it significantly, you know, influences your thoughts and ultimately your actions. It's very important that you're allowing God to guide you in picking the right friends and people in your life that will pour into you and uplift you.
Praise the Lord. You know, if I'm hearing this young adult speak, what I'm hearing is that, you know, the foundation was there, but at some point they kind of veered off, and but thank God for somehow they got rerouted. You know, we're going to hear from our the parents later, you know, but in the meantime, I have a question for Jessica. Jessica is the youngest amongst us. Hi, Jessica. Okay, so my question to you, Jessica. So my question to you is, what biblical strategies can young people employ, you know, to develop resilience in the face of bullying? You know, bullying is real, especially in our society today. And as adults, we know we go through that as well. But I can imagine what young kids go through as well. So what strategies do you think somebody can employ in the face of bullying, peer pressure, ungodly lifestyles? Okay. What do you think you can do? What do you do at this moment?
I would say knowing your identity in Christ, but also believing in your identity in Christ. And the way to know your identity in Christ is to actually read the word and see for yourself and truly believe it. Because unfortunately, a lot of the things that are seen as cool and normal, they're all like empty pleasures, like things like weed, drugs, clout, money. Those are all the things that are kind of pushed onto you. And if you don't have it, it's seen as if you're kind of outcasted, that you don't belong, and you're seen as almost weird for not partaking in the things like that. However, as I said, those are empty pleasures that don't really amount to anything. However, God, He created everything. He created everything that you see in the world. He created the stars, the volcanoes, the mountains. And if He is telling you that you are His masterpiece, that you're made in His image, why should you act otherwise? And why should you believe otherwise when people are bullying you or people are peer pressuring you? Truly being rooted in the word and actually believing it, because it's one thing to know it and it's another thing to actually believe it. So what I do is I try to believe it. And the more I read the word, the more I believe in it myself, because God is a God that He would never lie. And His word is the one that I trust the most, because it's absolutely impossible for Him to lie. So rather than trying to gratify and please the world, I more focus now on pleasing God, because what ultimately matters is what he wants. He's the one that makes me. He's the one that knows me better than I know myself, rather than the empty pleasures that will ultimately destroy you in the world. And I'm not saying that, like, you're still going to experience bullying, you're still going to experience peer pressures and temptations, but really being rooted in the identity that God says that you have makes it 100% easier to be resilient and go through the ungodly lifestyles.
Okay, so this is so amazing. Praise the Lord. You know, I've had two people so far say, knowing your identity, this is so real. Knowing who you are is a good ground. If you don't know who you are, you can easily get swayed around. You can easily get, you know, it's so easy for people to take you wherever they want, okay? But knowing your identity in Christ, like Evangel said and you are saying as well, is key, okay? I don't know if anybody has something to add. If you have something to add, I will take two people. If you have anything to add to what she just said, 2 minutes.
So just like she said, your identity in Christ is really what's going to keep you grounded and keep you firm on what you believe and how you act. And the more you know, the more that you believe, it's hard for your mind to get swayed into doing what you're not supposed to be doing. And then also, even if for some reason you do give in, we do serve a loving and merciful God. So, like, nothing can separate us from his love. So just know that just because you did slip up once, because it has happened to me, so it's not the end of that. Like, that's not the end for you. You do have a God that you can always go back to. You just have to be genuine about it and then just have him help you to not fall back into that same hole that you fell into. Praise God.
Thank you so much, Lillian. So the third question is for everyone here, except the parents. Parents, we're going to get to you. I know you guys have things for us. Well, just hold it. Just have it cooking. Okay, so my third question is, how can young people integrate faith into their daily life, you know, making positive impacts in their homes, in the homes, in church, in the community, in your school, and beyond?
Goes back to, again, knowing who you are. If you know who you are in Christ, you know that, okay, we're the light of the world. Coming to understand that we're the light of the world, it means that Christ lives in us and we're supposed to look like Christ. The world is supposed to see Christ in us. And when we come into a room, light has come into that room. We're the light in the darkness. So understanding that makes a big difference. And then understanding as well, like Jessica said, it's like the Holy Spirit is already working. You know, that verse I was thinking about as well, that we are his workmanship, created anew in Christ for good works. So we're all his workmanships that he created each of us for good works. So when you have a desire in you, something is pushing you to do something good. It's natural. So naturally, the Holy Spirit is going to inspire each of us to do what we're meant to do, what God wants to use us to do. Now, that comes, though, from fellowship. From knowing him, you can give your life to Christ and not be transformed and also not allow God to use you. But when you start to fellowship with God, for me, how it happens is as I fellowship with God in my devotions, God inspires me to do different things. For example, years ago, I would be reading the word, doing my quiet time, and then all of a sudden I'll be getting a message inside of me like, oh, like I will see a situation and I will know this is God's will to encourage the youth. I want to say this to them. I feel like God wants to say this to people that, you know, God will start to show you this person may be struggling or this may be happening and he will tell you what to do. So, for example, I would just feel like encouraging people and I will send out a message to the RG group chat and say something. Eventually, it just kept happening. And eventually, I was asked to be the spiritual development team leader. But it wasn't because I was trying to do that. It was just as I was spending my time with God, he was inspiring me to do what he wants me to do. And the same way, Jessica, maybe as Jessica is spending her time with God, God will be inspiring her. You see that person in your track team, she's going through this. I want you to tell her about Jesus. So being an impact is just really getting to know God and letting him flow through you to other people. That's what we're meant to be in our world.
Awesome. Amen. You know, he fills your cup and your cup runs over. And that running over is the people around you that benefit from what God has poured inside of you, right? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Grace?
So for me, the one thing, like in order to make an impact, the one thing was involving myself and making myself available. You know, it's one thing to come to church and hear from God, but then it's another when you're actually involved and you're actually participating or serving God in some way or somehow. As someone, you know, who liked to hide and was like so comfortable in, you know, isolation, joining something like an RG team, you know, helped me not only increase my exposure, but it just, you know, it increased my exposure to the things of God, but also gave me the confidence to go like, oh, okay, maybe putting myself out there isn't too bad. Started attending more meetings, whether it's coming to RG meetings or even because of my responsibility or my participation, or because I have an active role, I am now exposed to, you know, coming to these meetings. I'm now exposed to the things of God, and I'm able to apply that in other areas of my life where I can make an impact outside of church. So, you know, just you learn a lot from being involved or even just attending things in church outside of, you know, regular Sunday service. God can build you even from, you know, just that. You are grounded in the word, and I think it's very beneficial to how you leave an impact, again, even outside of the church. You're learning from others, you're building, you know, relationships with like-minded people, you're learning to build your own faith, and it's really all just a way of God guiding you in other areas of your life, and equipping you to, you know, cultivate that identity of Christ and in various other, you know, environments outside of that.
Thank you so much, Grace. I'm hearing iron sharpens iron right there, right? Coming together, you sharpen each other. You make each other better. I don't know if you have anything, Ernest,
yeah,
or Lillian.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So what young people can do, and I want to speak specifically to children or young ones in the middle section right there. One thing that you can do at home and start early is just simply by loving your parents, love your siblings, love your neighbor as yourself. Start with the basics, because when you get outside, when you get into the real world, you have to love those people as well. And if you can't love the people inside your own home, it's going to be difficult to love other people outside your home. So that covers the basis on how you can integrate your faith at home. In church, get involved in serving. I know you guys are young, but don't let people think less of you because you're young. That's what Apostle Paul instructed to Timothy. Just because you're young doesn't mean you can't be an impact somehow in church. Like, you can, once you're of age, maybe when you're 13, I don't know if there's an age limit, but you can get involved in ministries. Like, the production team always needs help. There are different ministries you can get involved in. So just understand, like, where God is leading you, even at an early age, and then God will direct you to the ministry that you're supposed to serve in. So you can start even thinking about that early. So then when it's time, you can just step into that. And it's really important to dedicate these early years of your life to God. Like, kids, and even myself when I was younger, I would say, oh, I'll get serious when I'm older, like, you know, when I'm like 30 or something. But it's really important to start early, even at the youngest age of, like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9. It doesn't matter how young you are. Like, start getting in the word, start reading verses, and start, like, putting those things into practice earlier on. It will pay dividends in the future. In schools, especially with the climate in the school system right now, it is so important to be a positive impact there and to influence people rather than you being influenced by people. And the only way to do that is by getting into the Word of God, so the Word of God can influence you, change your behavior, change your actions, change your thought patterns, so you can then be able to impact the lives of others, impact the lives of your classmates, your friends, your peer group. Because there's a lot of peer pressure going on, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of agendas being pushed, but you got to push back with the Word of God. You got to be strong, you got to be bold, You got to be courageous, and you can only do that by getting into the Word of God and by practicing that in school and in communities. I know that there are like extracurricular activities or volunteering requirements for middle schools or even high schools in order to like, you know, have the hours you need to get into college. In those volunteer opportunities, you can have a positive impact by influencing people with the Word of God. Like, you don't need to like do it explicitly, like say, oh, Jesus, like you don't need to do that. Just simply love people. Just love, be kind. Like, that's so important. Like, just be kind to others. And I really do think that can like really change the lives of others. And then people will just see something different about you. They'll start asking you, what's so different about you? Like what sets you apart? And then you can like start getting into like, oh, this is what I believe. I go to church. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. And that just opens the door to conversation and spreading the gospel. Amen.
I think I actually had that from Kelvin, one of the LG's meetings that they had. You know, let your life speak. Let your life be the gospel that people, you know, read. Okay, that was amazing. And Lillian, do you have anything?
Hallelujah. So that's a great point, Ernest, because that's literally what I wrote down in my notes, exactly word for word. Like, we should start off just basic with the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the more that you do it, just like my mom always says, charity begins at home. So we start off at home, and then you'll be able to like strengthen yourself so you could do it outside of your home, in your schools, church, communities, work. And people are going to notice you because we're called out to be different. So people are going to notice like, wow, this person's always so loving and joyful, and like nothing's bothering them, self-control, they're at peace. Like, people will notice that, and then they'll start to ask you. And that's a perfect opportunity just to plant that seed of Jesus and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. So they'll be able to ask you more questions about it. And then this is one verse that I was reading in 1 Peter 3, verse 16. It was talking about how if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle, respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. So the more people ask you, like, why are you always so this? Like, there's something about you that's different. That's a perfect opportunity just to, like, give glory to God, give him the praise that you're the way that you are that way. So just, like, be ready to give glory to him for why you are the way. Amen.
For the sake of time, I want to go into the next question. And this question is specifically for Ernest. Ernest, we see social media use. Kids have so much access to social media. So I have this question for you. How can young people use social media responsibly and critically, avoiding harmful influences, promoting positive messages, and practicing self-control?
Praise the Lord. So in regard to social media, the easiest way to avoid harmful influences is simply by not using the social media app. However, I know that kids and teenagers want like their TikTok, they want their Instagram, right? So I'm just gonna go over some ways that you can navigate the social media platforms in a way that you can avoid those harmful things, those inappropriate things, and promote positive impact through social media. So first of all, children and teenagers and even adults here, you need to understand that social media operates based on an algorithm. And an algorithm is basically a specific set of instructions that feeds you things that you like, things that you already interact with on social media. So if you're liking posts that are inappropriate, social media will feed you more of those posts because they want you to stay engaged with the app. So you can literally be able to filter the kinds of posts you see by interacting with only the ones you want to see. And also, you can flip it around. You can block or even tell social media apps that like you don't want to see posts. I think on Instagram, there's like a specific feature that says, do you like this post? This is a suggested post. You can just select, I'm not interested. And then that way, the app recognizes that, oh, you don't like this? Okay, so we're just going to stop feeding that to you. Because the whole goal of social media, they want you to actually stay on the app so they can make revenue. So Just use that to your advantage. Like, filter the things that you want to see. Unfollow the profiles that are inappropriate. Follow pages like, there's like the Bible app. There's a specific page that is dedicated to solely Bible scriptures. It's called God Cares Bro. That's like one of my favorites. But like these social media profiles, they are just simply dedicated to posting Bible scriptures. So as you scroll, you're just seeing Bible scripture after Bible scripture after Bible scripture. So like you have the ability to filter the things that you want to see. So use that to your advantage when you're using social media. And with promoting positive messages, there's a feature on social media where you can just hit the share button on things that you like to see. And that just goes straight to your story. So you can share things through your social media account. Because I know like children and teenagers like to use social media as a means to connect with their friends outside of school. So you can share things to your friends even, like through direct messages, whether that be like Bible verses or just simply like posting that in your Instagram story. That's something that I do when I'm on social media. I would post Bible scriptures to my story and people would swipe up on it. I'm getting into lingo here, but people would swipe up on it and like they would say, oh, this blessed me, or they would like the story and like or react to it with like a smiley face or a thumbs up by like saying like, oh, this like really blessed me. So you guys can do that through your social media platforms. Don't be scared how your friends might judge you based off what you do with your social media, like, or based on what you do in your life. Like, don't let people judge you because you have, yeah, and they will. Like, your friends might look down on you because you're promoting the word of God, but God says to spread the gospel to all nations. So really use your social media to your advantage and be a positive impact in that way. And the last thing is practicing self-control. So the only advice that I can provide is simply limiting the amount of time you spend on social media. There's a term that they invented due to the fact that people are spending so much time on social media nowadays. It's called doom scrolling. So that's simply just scrolling on social media because it's like a vertical thing on your phone. And you just simply just scroll for hours on end, just hours. And then you don't even recognize how much time has passed. It can be like 3 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, just on social media until midnight. And you don't even realize. So really just limit your time on your social media use. And one thing that helps me to do this is just simply by having other things to do. Because if you don't have anything to do, you'll simply just go on social media. So have other things to do in the day. For me in high school, I was participating in extracurricular activities after school. So I'd run track and field and cross country. And then on top of being an athlete and studying, by the time I got home, I was simply too tired to be on social media. So I would just go to sleep after I'm done studying. But have other things to do, like read a book, develop hobbies that that are productive so like you won't be on social media as long. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ernest. You know, when you said based, your social media feed comes off of the algorithm, you know, the friends that you follow as well, they feed you things based off of what your friends that you follow, what they watch, what they see, you know, and that's where that button comes in handy. You can, do you like this? No, I'm not interested. And they will stop feeding you that, you know, and also being able to, you know, I am a big fan of algae. I'm telling you guys the truth. You know, there was something I had, my friend here, Evangel, said in one of the algae, he said that when you start to preach, you know, when you start to, when your friends notice, know that you are a Christian, you know, you're going to have pushbacks, you know, and you, the truth is that it's going to come, but you have to stand your ground. That's where that identity, knowing who you are and standing firm true to who you are comes in. Praise the Lord. I don't want to take so much of our time because we really need to hear from our parents. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, just
please go ahead.
This is loud. I just wanted to add something to the social media discussion to say it's okay to wait a while before your child or your, you know, when it's, even when they become teenagers officially, they don't have to rush and get an Instagram account or get a TikTok account or what's the other one, Snapchat. You know, they have the rest of their lives, right, to get on social media. I think it's really important to watch kind of how they're maturing. There's enough in-person bullying, there's enough in-person peer pressure, there's enough of that that they're dealing with even from being in school. And we know that people just put all kinds of stuff on social media. They talk and you think it's real and it's not really real. So as your child is growing up, don't, and they will ask for sure. All their friends will be on it, but don't let that pressure you to say, okay, yeah, go ahead and create an account. Eventually they will create an account and be on social media, but be mindful and try to make sure that it's when you think that they are ready.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Jessica. So coming to our parents, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, Amplified Version, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his ability and talent. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we want to hear from you, parents. You know, how can you tell us how you're able to? Because I know, Jessica, you have three wonderful kids that, you know, I'm sure so many kids look up to, you know. You, I look up to you, the way you raising your kids, you know. You may not know, but I do. And Auntie Carol, you, of course. So can you guys tell us how you're able to train your kids, you know, teach them, educate them, direct them to choose the way, the right way, and walk the right path? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It is God. I want to start with saying that is God, right? Truly is God. But as I thought about this question, a few points came to mind, so I'll go through them. First is the obvious, you know, if you're training someone or if you're teaching or educating someone, you know, you create opportunity to share that information, right? So, you know, this is what we typically would call, you know, family devotion time or, you know, family altar, family prayer, things like that. But what I will say to this is to get creative as to when you do it. A lot of us have African backgrounds. I think, you know, for the most part, people would, you know, have their family devotion time at the beginning of the day, back where we come from. But here in America, you know, schedules are different. Some people work nights. Some children actually have late nights. Maybe they're playing sports, wherever the case may be. What I will say is to truly get creative as to when you do it. It does not have to be, you know, first thing in the morning. It could be any other time over the course of the day when you're all together. It could be, my uncle there is saying, shaking his head, no. It could be when you are having dinner, any meal that we know you all are all together, taking the time to, you know, talk about, it can be a verse of the day. Children now, they have the Bible app, so they know the verse of the day, right? You guys can, you can talk about it. One thing I know that I used to do, and actually now it's almost second nature, as I pull out of my garage, like literally when I'm in reverse, when they were younger and I was dropping them off to school, I would always pray. So now I don't drop all of them to school like that anymore, but every time we're all together and I'm pulling out of my garage, automatically I will say, okay, let us pray. So you know your lifestyle, you know what you do in your home, getting creative as to those times when you're all together and using it to, you know, talk about God. Another example I want to share is we take a lot of road trips. Casey loves to drive. He could drive to Nigeria if you let him. So, you know, when we take road trips to different places, and one of my kids actually gave her life to Christ, one of our many road trips, right? Because road trips is also a time where you're in the car for a very long time, you know? So we do, you know, we talk about God, and one of those road trips she did. So every little opportunity doesn't, my point here is just to say, get creative. Doesn't have to be, okay, everybody wakes up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., let's go in the family room and have family devotion. And, this is something that Casey does to pockets, and now my kids make fun of him. Something can happen, they're like, oh, he's going to give us a lecture. Like, like, oh, here we go again. But they know he'll do it, where something will happen, you know, something can happen. Use that real life, use that opportunity to draw, you know, factor in scripture and use it to explain. So yeah, that's one, right? Doing that actual education. The second thing is leading by example. You know, you can quote scriptures to them and say, this is what it says here, this is what it says there. But at the end of the day, action speaks louder than words. You know, no one has a perfect life. Nobody is perfect. And this is also what we teach them. We're not striving to say, oh my gosh, everything you do must be perfect, right? But in your daily life, model the love that you want them to exhibit. Model the kindness. Model the generosity. Model prioritizing God. Model giving, model respect, model honoring God. If they see you prioritize the things of God, if they see you, you know, listening to messages all the time, if they see you surrounding yourself with Christian music, if they see you surrounding yourself with messages, you know, and when you're home, over time, those things, believe it or not, will start to rub off of them. My kids now, my two girls have the same room. they have the same room. So we didn't even say this to them, but most times now they do their own, because they, you know, they're in the same bed, they do their own devotion together. They'll pull up a Bible, a verse of the day. They'll pull up the stuff. They can have a Bible plan, and you know, they do it together. And this is all, it's all part, it's, no, we didn't tell them to do that, right? It's something that they saw. It's something that they know we do, and something that they decided to do by themselves. The third thing I wanted to say is also that scripture, the scripture we're looking at says, train up a child. Training also, we need to understand that training is an active thing. You know, we have to have an active participation in it. It's different from telling, right? Training is more so making sure that, yeah, you have them do something, but you observe, you spend enough time with them to observe how they are reacting to, how they're responding to what you've said, right? And so you can approach that same thing another way, if I'm making any sense. I think what I want to pull out here is the fact that we need to take an active role. It's not passive. You know, most people, even us as adults, sometimes you, if you're trying to learn something, it's not one and done, right? So really doing our best to stay engaged with our children, stay engaged with what they're doing, stay engaged in their interest, give them time, whatever that, you know, and it's the little things. It's not, you know, asking them about their day, asking them about things that are interesting to them, and taking that time to really watch what's going on. Because when you can see, you know, it could be something that you've told them before, but if they haven't really gotten it, and then if you're taking that active role, you're able to see kind of where they are, and then that can help you now figure out your next approach. So even in, this leads me to the next point, I'll be done soon. This leads me to the next point of prayer. You know, everything that I've said, actually, you can scratch it. Not to say scratchy, but prayer is the most important thing. There's nothing we can do in this life without prayer. And parenting is up there, right? Pray. Even the point I was saying about, if you're trying to teach them something, you're actively monitoring to see how they're responding. A lot of times, if you have to go back and, you know, try to revisit that thing, it's God that's going to tell you what to do. You know, and one thing I'm learning, I thought I always prayed, but right now I felt like I have never prayed enough, you know. And I'm asking God to help me even pray some more. Because what happens in prayer, God can start to unravel things. Literally unravel things. And when a lot of things, you know, Evangel mentioned that, I believe Ernest said it too, where, you know how they said it was when they knew God for them, for themselves, that it made the difference. How do you think that happens? Like, how do you think your child will get to the point where from childbirth you bring them to church every single week and, you know, but at some point their eyes open and they're like, oh, God loves me so much. How do you think that happens? It's true prayer. It's true prayer. Consistently praying for them. Praying before you give birth to them. Praying when you give birth to them. Praying when they are toddlers. Praying through all as they're growing up and as they're going through different stages, continuing to pray. Praying in the spirit, praying in response to things that you see. And it is those times of prayer. It is in prayer that God will bring light. Because prayer brings light. And prayer also generates power, as our pastor has been telling us, right? It generates power. And what power does, the things become, like their hearts will be more moldable, so to say. Scripture says that he will teach them by himself. That's what prayer does. So out of everything truly that I've said, prayer is the most important thing. And as parents, you know, don't be too hard on yourself, truly. Don't be too hard on yourself. Trust God to help you. You know, as you're praying, trust that God will help you make the right call. Trust that God will give you wisdom. Trust that God will help you prioritize things. Because children also, there's a very small window. That's another thing. There's a very small window. I mean, it doesn't seem small, but it really is small. I look back on my kids right now, I'm like, how did my kids get this big, right? I used to bring snacks to church and all that, and bring stroller. I used to be in that, look at me now. I'm like, where's my clothes? You know, it's a very small window. So it goes by really fast. So that small window, ask God to help you. Ask God to prioritize them. At some point in your life, you may have to prioritize your children over maybe something you have to do for yourself. And that's okay. Because there will be a time where you have so much time, you're even looking for stuff to do with it. So maximizing the opportunity when they're this age, when they're with you, working closely with them, being very active in what we're doing, what they are doing, and asking the Holy Spirit to guide you. Amen.
Jessica, thank you so much. Go on.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, like Jessica shared, training, raising children is a job that you do and you will continue to do. Even when they are on their own, they're still an influence a parent brings. And God gave us an example. He is a father. The Bible says that God is our father. God is the parent who modeled parenting. He's our father. If we look in Matthew chapter 6, you will see there Jesus used the phrase our father like four times in our Lord's Prayer, our father. So you see that because God is a father to us, he loves us. And because of his love, he gave. And he continues to be a parent over us. He provides, he loves, he forgives, he cleans, he trains. So that's a model for every parent. So that for me, as a parent, especially a Christian parent, number one duty I have is to love my children, to love them. Because when you really...
Auntie, I don't mean to cut you off. Hold on. I want us to collect... I want the ushers to please pass the envelope so we can pray over the offering. Auntie, when you're done, we will collect the offering. Go ahead, please.
Praise the Lord.
Ushers, please pass out the envelopes.
Okay. So when you love your children, when you love them, and in all your dealings with them, they experience your love, it is easy to tell them about God's love. It's very difficult for a child who feels unloved to accept the love of God. Because you're the God that child is seeing. in your daily interactions, he perceives God. He or she perceives God through you. So it's important that you make out time. You love your children. And sometimes as parents, when they become teenagers, you know, and they start pushing the rules, pushing the boundaries, you know, sometimes if you don't take time, it's pushing on the love you have for them. So you always have to recalibrate your love and make sure it's stable and sustainable, that nothing from that child is pushing your love away from them. Because you are intentional as a Christian parent, and you're missional too, meaning your goal is to win that child for Christ. So because of that, you're very intentional in your interactions. You're intentional in sharing your love because you want them to experience the love that God has for them. Like Jessica said already, you model whatever you're teaching. Whatever you want your child to learn, you show it first by how you live. Do you want them to be Christians who study the Bible? Let them see you read the Bible. Do you want them to be prayerful? Let them see you be the praying mom or the praying dad. Do you want them to be content? Be a contented person. Do you want them to be peaceful? Create peaceful environment and be peace and be at peace in your own life, so that they can experience all those things. Because as you're teaching, like Jesus will train his disciples and will want them to practice it, you know? So when you've modeled things, you've talked about it, you've modeled it, sometimes you put them to test to do those things. Sometimes conflict arises. You just want to take yourself out of it and see how they're going to do it, you know? So it's really, really important that we love and we model. Praise the Lord. Okay, again, it's important also that we model how to overcome obstacle and failure. You know, we live in a world, especially in this country, we deal with human beings that are so fragile emotionally. Little thing, they slide into depression, they slide into anxiety because of obstacles in life. So you have to be able to do that. Model how to overcome disappointment. Model how to overcome failure and talk about it. It's very, very important. You want to, like Jessica said, it's important to have a time of family devotion if you still have young children. If you have young children, make it a priority. Make out time. Whatever time that works for you, that's very good. Create a family culture. Have a culture in your own family. Create that culture. What do you love so much to do in your family? Because when you create a family culture that brings everybody together, it's easier to share. Everybody knows what everybody likes. It's easier to share things. But when there's no culture, people want to always run off, go here, go there, because there's nothing in the home for them. So it's important for you as a Christian parent that you create a culture, create something. Make, you know, we don't take eating, we don't think is such a big thing. Make sure that you come together as a family. You have a meal you share if everybody is there. Because in sharing meals, I made it a rule in my home when my children were younger, we eat together. That's why you have a dining table. Bring not where you do your computer work. It's where family gather and sit and share meals. Sharing meal is important as a family, because think of it, when everybody gathers and people are sharing meal, you're talking. Then you see people talking about work. Oh, at my job, this is happening, at this is happening, you know? Then you have opportunity to talk about things. You have opportunity for people to say things, you know? So it's really important. The goal, you're being intentional, you want to maintain communication so that you will be able to share the love of Christ. Again, it's important for a parent to be knowledgeable. You know, I emphasize that. As a parent, don't just read the Bible. Read other things. Know what's happening in the society. We live in a very dark society. I use the word dark And that dark is, when I say dark, is very dark. So that you as a parent should know what's going on. So that you raise those issues in your home and talk about them. You don't only talk about Christ, because all those other things you discuss, it kind of stabilizes your children when they go out there and the society pushes on them. Talk about sexual orientation is very, very important. We live in a society where it is becoming so loud. It's shouting at us. It's shouting at our children, at our own children. And some of them are becoming confused who they are. So it's important to discuss. Raise it up in your home. Don't, it's not a shy topic. What do you think? How do you see yourself? What is going on? You need to know. And then you talk about it. I don't forget, one time, it's been a while, one of my sons, it was in a high school. She came home and said, "Oh, mommy, today they brought the gay person to come and speak to us. I wanted to fight him." I said, but then he said something. He said, but one boy asked the question and said, "You're saying that this is real, is how God made how everybody is created. How come we don't see it in animals?" You know? So I said, "You see, you didn't need to be physical. You don't have to be physical. You use reasoning. You know? See, that boy was reasoning. You raise questions. You start asking questions. You know? So I encourage parents, be aware of the environment that you live in. Be aware of what is happening. Be aware what is the in thing in the society. What is pushing at those teachings you've done in your children's life. You know, it's important that you know those. And when they're talking, listen to their reasoning. Listen, because their reasoning will tell you what concepts they have now taken over what you've taught them, you know? And you can kind of debunk those concepts, you know? It's important that you know, that you talk about it. Some of them may be boisterous. Some of them may just think that your belief is old-fashioned, you know? Older children, not the younger ones, right? So, but it's important to still keep engaged and still try to debunk those things. That seed you've sown by training, by teaching, that word of God is alive and powerful, and God is able to make it germinate. So irrespective of what you're seeing, you must continue to engage. So that's really, really important. Like I said, we be intentional. We model whatever we're teaching. We love. We listen. We examine the reasonings that are coming. And you discuss whatever you think is going on in the society, and so that they know. But in all those things, you tie Jesus into it. You maintain the God factor. Don't let them, some parents may be wondering, "I train my child, I talk to them about Jesus, but now they don't want Jesus." Anytime you engage that child, maintain the God factor. If they're talking to you about work, "Oh, in my job, this is happening," after everything, you say, "But remember God," and they'll say, "You and this, your God again," but you keep saying it, you know, it's very, very important. And like Jessica has said, you, after you've done everything you can do, you go on your knees. Everything is God who is able. Jesus says, "Nobody comes to me except I draw them." You know, he's the one who draws. All of us sitting here that have known him, it's not because we were very good or we had any age over another person who does not know the Lord. But God's mercy, his love, his mercy drew us. So when you're training, you know that they're not there now, but God will draw them because he promised he will teach our children and great will be their peace. And we're partakers of that promise. Praise the Lord.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, Auntie. Thank you. Let's pray over our offering. I hope everybody has their offering. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to give. We are so grateful for our sources of income and the ability to give. Father God, our prayer this morning is that all that we have, oh Lord, this money will be used for the propagation of your gospel, that people around us will hear, that people will hear, both far and near, they will hear about this good news that we have received, to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Ushers, please collect the offering. Thank you so much, Auntie. Thank you. Grace, you have something to add? So you have 30 seconds because we are out of time.
I just had a verse for encouragement, because when I was preparing for this, I came across a verse, and then when I woke up this morning and I opened the Bible app, it happened to be the verse of the day. So the verse is from 1 John 4, verse 4. It says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world." So it really addresses false prophets and the importance of discernment. It says that as children of God, we have overcome false prophets and other things from the world. As children of God, we are greater over these influences from the world because of our identity in Christ. And it really just emphasizes that the one who is in us, which is the Holy Spirit, is greater. Really just a reminder to remember and rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit and the truth of your identity in Christ in the midst of resisting the things of this world, or even just overcoming any challenges you are facing in life in general. Being rooted in this truth and awareness will give you that confidence to overcome the complexities of life and the things of this world.
Wow. Thank you so much. We are out of time, but we would love to take one or two biblical advice, if any of the parents in the congregation have any biblical advice for the kids. You know, you have a minute to give that. Auntie, you can go ahead. If you have any advice, you can raise your hands up so they can bring the mic to you.
Auntie, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is also for the parents. It's important that I say this. It's just a simple formula. You know, my daughter gave me this formula. It says grace plus truth over time equals change. So that as a parent, you graciously say the teachings of Jesus to your children with grace and give it time. Trusting God, change your course. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And for the children, listen to your parents. They love you more than your friends. You know, the friends are the ones that bring the peer pressure and make you disobey your parents. But give it 1 year or you change school. Those friends drop off. You're going to have to pick new ones. But your parents will be in your life until they're no longer living. So listen to them. They love you more than your friends. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Broke has a contribution to make. Please, can you bring the mics to him? Hold on. Adana has one.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to read Proverbs 15:31 and probably 32. It says, "If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding." Praise the Lord. But what I want to talk about here is to the parents. Because we're telling the kids, if they listen to constructive criticism, do we give that in the homes? Most of us come from a tradition whereby you scream. Everything you scream. Everything you attack it when it happens. You don't give constructive feedback most times. And that is very lacking in some of our families. There's a difference between correction and constructive feedback. Somebody does something wrong. The way you react to it, the way you correct that person, that means what the person does the next time. So you have to be able to give constructive feedback and constructive discipline so that what the Bible says, that they can listen to it. If you don't give constructive criticism, what are they going to adhere to? Praise the Lord.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys to my panelists. Oh, Doug. Okay. Doug, you have 30 seconds.
I'll take 25.
All right, go ahead, please.
Just thank you very much. Thank you very much, all of you, because you know, what you said, you know, a lot of us are thinking about it. But to the children or to the young adults or whoever, remember that your parents were not born and they became parents. They went through this same thing that you're going through now, maybe in a different society. Remember that. Sometimes we think our parents don't know anything. What do you know, Dad? You know, your dad was not born and he became dad without going through high school, going through college or whatever. So remember that. And secondly, just to add to what Broke said, constructive criticism, you know, we also must give time to allow the change to occur. We must also give time to allow the change to occur because, you know, we tend to put things in our own schedule. We want the child to do it now, otherwise you're too late. But it's not. If we remember, like I said, we were not born and we became parents. We went through the stages. If you remember how you were when you were a child, it will help you. And not how you thought you were. Is if I want to find out how you were, I'm going to ask, like for Sister Carol, I'm going to ask Mama how Sister Carol was when she was growing up. Okay, not Sister Carol's assessment of herself. So let us know. Let's all amen.
Thank you so much, Doug. Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to my panelists. You guys are awesome. Our Father, we just want to thank you. We give you all the praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for my panelists that yielded themselves to you and you taught them what to teach the church today. And thank you for all the audience. Thank you for their hearts, our fertile ground. All that we had we'll put into practice. It's a seed that has been planted into our lives this morning. And we pray, Lord Jehovah God, that this seed will bear fruit. It will germinate. It will bear fruit in thousands, in hundreds of thousands and a million folds to the glory and praise of God's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.